This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The massive ride-sharing tech firm Uber is back in the news, this time over the resignation of its CEO, Travis Kalanick. The aggressive Silicon Valley technocrat who had built up the highly valued company since 2008. Kalanick had recently taken a leave of absence from his position, which the company's shareholders reportedly forced him to make permanent. He has attracted much controversy, from his company's mistreatment of drivers, to allegations of sexual harassment within Uber's workplace, to his decision earlier this year to join Donald Trump's Economic Advisory Council, and even a videotaped interaction with an Uber driver. Well, what does Travis Kalanick's resignation mean for both Uber and the U.S. economy as a whole? Joining me to help understand that is Stephen Hill, a senior fellow with the New America Foundation and a Holtzbrinck Fellow at the American Academy in Berlin. He's a political writer and author of 5 books, including Raw Deal, How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers. It's going to be out in paperback next week. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
My pleasure, Sonali. Great to be here.
So we had had you on before to talk about Raw Deal when it had just come out. Why should we care about Uber's CEO resigning? I mean, CEOs come and go. Uber is just one company of many companies in the U.S. Why is this so significant?
It's significant because, first, Uber dramatically impacts the transportation grid, as, you know, city after city is seeing now. I live in San Francisco, and the traffic congestion is incredibly alarming. For example, there are 1,800 taxi cabs in San Francisco, and a recent study found that there are 45,000 Uber and Lyft drivers in San Francisco. Uber drivers come from all over the Bay Area, even from, in some cases, from Southern California. They drive to San Francisco. They sleep in their car for a period of days, driving around the city that they don't even know that well, just to make a living. And so that's the real tip of the iceberg here, is that Uber is providing some pretty crummy jobs in the middle of an economy that still is not producing real good employment anymore. And so Uber is sort of, it's what I call the Uber economy. It's threatening to be the future of how we're all going to work. And so who is the CEO of this company, and whether they treat the drivers as employees or independent contractors and provide health care or tell them, hey, you're on your own. This is a big deal. And so this CEO, Travis Kalanick, has been the type of CEO, typical brash Silicon Valley, Ayn Rand influenced, get government out of my way type of CEO. So we'll see if Uber now can pivot and come up with a new way, a new corporate mentality, or if it will continue with the bro culture that has led to the things like sexual harassment and everything else.
So some would argue that it was Mr. Kalanick's aggressive leadership of Uber that has gotten it to the point where it is today, that has created high value for its shareholders. And now those shareholders are the ones who have actually, and quite publicly, I would add, which is unusual, forced out this CEO. Won't they stand, just from their perspective, stand to lose if Uber is no longer led by somebody as aggressive, as ruthless as Kalanick?
Sure. Silicon Valley has a reputation for having these kind of ruthless, take no prisoners types of CEOs. But there's a limit to this type of disruption.
So he pushed too far.
He pushed too far, breaking laws left and right. For example, in San Francisco a few years ago, an Uber driver took a right-hand turn into a crosswalk, plowed over a family, killed 6-year-old Sophia Liu, badly injured her brother and mother. And Uber said, hey, you know what? Horrible tragedy. We're really sorry about that. But we don't have any responsibility here. The responsibility is with the driver, because that driver is the CEO of his own driving business. He's an independent contractor.
Wow.
And so, this is the type. And incidentally, as I might add, even though that driver had passed Uber's background checks, which are inadequate, they don't do fingerprinting, and that driver had actually been arrested in Florida for driving 100 miles per hour on a city street trying to pass a car. So, in many ways, Uber's just, push forward, break the laws, do what you want, we'll apologize later mentality has gone too far and has taken this company in many, many bad places, including stealing trade secrets from on self-driving cars from Google, using a piece of software called Grayball that allowed its drivers to evade local authorities trying to enforce their traffic laws, on and on and on. There's just numerous examples of these types of scandals that Uber has embroiled itself into, and for reasons that don't make any sense. I mean, why not fingerprint your drivers? It doesn't make any sense.
So what does it now mean for this particular company, Uber, without Kalanick's leadership? Do you foresee a change in the not just the culture of the company, but even its policies? Because the huge difference, the reason that Uber succeeds is by labeling its drivers independent contractors rather than employees. That is the big issue. It's the basis of the business model for Uber. Will that in any way change?
We'll have to see, because here's the big challenge, the big problem that Uber had that put a lot of pressure on Travis Kalanick, is that this company is not profitable. You know, 7 out of 10 of Silicon Valley startups fail. 9 out of 10 never make a profit. So, you know, the big search, all the money being spent, Silicon Valley is like a big casino of just throwing venture capital at these startups. And you look for the 1 out of 10 that blows up to become Facebook or these kinds of startups that do really well. Uber is on track to being one of the 7 out of 10 that fails. And the reason why is because when you get into your Uber or even your Lyft, and you take that taxi service, half of your ride you're only paying for half of that ride. Uber is subsidizing the other half of that ride using its venture capital subsidy funding.
That's why those rides are so cheap, right?
That's why those rides are so cheap. They're trying to drive down the price so they can drive their competition out of business, including taxis and Lyft.
And in a way, was that the Amazon.com model as well? That for years, Amazon was simply not profitable because it undercut or undervalued so many of it sold its products at really cheap prices because it could, just to try to get enough market share and put others out of business.
Exactly. This is the Silicon Valley model. And it creates monopoly companies. It creates predatory practices. This is really not, what made the post-World War II economy in the United States a strong, robust economy. This is a predatory type of economy. And so, can Uber pivot in a way to actually become profitable? Uber lost almost $3 billion in 2016. And then when you add in the losses it had in China, it lost another a billion or two in China. It's already lost in the first quarter of 2017 about $700 million. And so the big problem that Travis Kalanick had, besides the bro culture and the scandals and all these sorts of things that made all the headlines, is that he has not figured out any new efficiencies in the taxi business that would allow it to have lower prices and still make a profit. If you think about Amazon, they were able to get rid of all having box stores, the mom and pop stores, and by just doing retail online. And that kind of efficiency allowed them to lower their prices and still make a profit eventually. Uber has not figured out any kind of efficiency to its business model that would allow it to make a profit. It's tried things like Uber Eats, where they deliver food. You can only make so much money delivering an $8 burrito. They've tried Uber Pool, where you try to get more passengers into the same car. Turns out it's not very popular with those passengers or with drivers either, because drivers work a lot harder. Their car gets used up faster and they don't make any more money. So every pivot that Uber has, a pivot is a word from Silicon Valley about when your business model is not working, try something different. Every pivot that Uber has tried has not managed to improve its bottom line.
What about its vision for self-driving cars to cut drivers? Because of course it has to pay the drivers. That's its big problem from shareholders' perspective. It has to pay these people who are driving the cars, and of course that's why it has put so much effort into this idea of self-driving cars and has actually gotten into trouble with it. But is this just a pie in the sky thinking?
It absolutely is. This is what Travis Kalanick has put forward as the solution. you know, if we can just cut drivers out of the equation. And he managed for quite a long period of time to convince his funders, his investors, that this was actually viable in the short term, when in fact it is not. You know, if you talk to experts who aren't trying to constantly keep the venture capital coming in, so, you know, companies that don't need to keep their investors stoked and thinking this is the latest, greatest thing ever and I want to be on board, what they'll tell you is that self-driving cars, truly self-driving cars, not the experiments we're seeing in San Francisco and Pittsburgh, where the cars ran six red lights and had gotten fender benders and all these sorts of things, but truly a safe product is 20 to 30 years away. And there, we have no example of a Silicon Valley company startup where its investors are willing to wait 20 years for their payout. And that's really the real reason behind the revolt we have seen on the Uber board that basically forced Travis Kalanick out, is that these investors have put a lot of money into this company, and they see no near or even medium term future in which this company becomes profitable. And that's why, I mean, I've been saying, I think Uber is going to be the Enron of the transportation industry. We're going to see this company go out of business within a few years once the venture capital funding dries up. And that's a typical story in Silicon Valley. 7 out of 10 startups fail. And so that's really what this change is about. But it's not clear to anyone how a new CEO is going to turn this company around. Yes, they can get rid of the bro culture and the scandals that have happened, but can it fundamentally enact some sort of efficiency in the taxi business that would allow this company to have lower prices but also make a profit? No one has been able to figure that out. And incidentally, Lyft also suffers from this same problem. Lyft already tried to sell itself to Apple and Google and even to Uber for $9 billion about a year ago, and there were no takers. So I think ride sharing in some capacity is going to survive, but I'm not sure that Uber and Lyft are going to be the companies that take this type of service forward over the next few years.
Well, Stephen, in the wake of Kalanick's resignation, the group No Uber Oakland released a statement just now that laid out 10 points that it thinks the Uber shareholders ought to embrace if it wants to move forward, in things like guaranteeing dignity for drivers, ensuring justice in the workplace, creating a community advisory board, supporting mass transit, etc. What do you think, if you had the ear of Uber shareholders, what advice would you give them in terms of how to move forward? Because you're right, the idea of ride sharing is very innovative. The apps work very efficiently. The reason it's so popular among consumers is because it's just easier than ever to get inexpensive and quick ride. The inexpensive part may have to change, of course, if we want justice for drivers. But the technology that has put this in place doesn't seem like it would go away anytime soon. So what would you tell Uber to do to survive?
There's a number of things that a new CEO needs to do. And I wrote about this in an article that was just published on Salon recently. First, they should just focus on being a U.S.-based taxi business. They lost a ton of money in China. They're losing a ton of money in India. They're widely reviled in Europe for just being this, you know, wild, wild west company that breaks every transportation law in places like Berlin and Paris and Barcelona. And so just focus on the U.S. Focus on being a good taxi business for the digital age. If the CEO focuses on that goal instead of trying to get global domination, then also follow Eric Holder's recommendations for rooting out the very destructive bro culture. Parlay its popularity among its user base. No question, it's been popular, but they have to increase their fares. If they're going to come close to profitability, they can't continue to cut both the fares as well as drivers' pay. And that's the other thing I recommend, is that hit reset on its relationship with its drivers, since it's going to be stuck with those drivers for a good while longer. And, you know, drivers have legitimate grievances. Uber regularly cuts their pay, treats them, as one driver who I interviewed said, that they treat us like we're gum on the bottom of their shoe. You know, it needs those drivers. Without those drivers, Uber has no business. And Uber's own internal study found that 50% of its drivers last only a year on that platform, and then they move on because they're tired of putting up with Uber garbage. So they have to treat their drivers better. And, you know, drop self-driving, and even Uber in recently has talked about self-flying vehicles. I mean, they just continue to try portray themselves as this cutting edge technology company. And, you know, it needs to just focus on the taxi business and making that viable and profitable. And then finally, I think they should cooperate more with local officials and become, you know, allow local officials to have the data and use the tracking technology to track how people are driving today and create congestion zones like in London and Stockholm that have been very successful in reducing congestion, because, you know, Uber is contributing greatly to the bad congestion that we're seeing in San Francisco, Seattle, New York City, Los Angeles, everywhere. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It could drop this kind of us against the world posturing and just become a more cooperative, helpful, benevolent company that tries to do good by its drivers, its customers, and the cities in which it operates. It's not that complicated. They just need a CEO that is ready to do that.
Well, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and helping put this issue into context. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. And Raw Deal is out in paperback June 27th. So I should say I predicted this was going to happen with Travis Kalanick and his, me against the world and in your face type of CEO posturing, and with Uber. And, you know, it was predictable back in 2015 when Raw Deal first came out. And it's all in the book, which will be out in paperback on June 27th.
Thanks again. Stephen Hill is a senior fellow with the New America Foundation and a Holt Spring Fellow at the American Academy in Berlin. He is a political writer and author of 5 books. His latest is Raw Deal: How the Uber Economy and Runaway Capitalism Are Screwing American Workers, which will be out next week in paperback. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.